Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Flow Track Podcast. I am Liv Ekpone, joined as always with Ashley Titians. I feel like I just saw you.
We just had a show on Friday.
We just had a show on Friday, breaking down all the different regions using the Colas calculator. I call you now the queen of Colas.
I did it right. I put in the data right.
Ashley got all the data right, literally predicted all the correct teams that were at large. We got all the auto qualifiers in there too. So it was just a big, big Friday. But before we dive into our show, we're going to kind of like recap. I know Ashley on Friday was like, don't make your picks. That's on Friday. Right. So yeah. We're going to pick our picks today. Yes. We also have a very special guest. But before we dive into that, we have to thank our wonderful, wonderful sponsors. Are you guys looking for a delicious and nutritious snack that packs with a real protein punch? Crack into a good source of protein with tasty, healthy, wonderful pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving of wonderful pistachios contains 6 grams, giving you over 10% of your daily value. It's one of the highest protein nuts out there, but that is not all, Ashley. Pistachios are also known for their fiber and their better-for-you unsaturated fats, which may help you keep feeling fuller longer. And that's not the best part about it. Wonderful Pistachio comes in a variety of flavors, sizes. It's perfect for enjoying with your family while you're watching the football games, while you're getting ready for school, going in between meetings. This is going to become your go-to snack. So Wonderful Pistachios, go check them out at wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. And speaking of powering up, we're powering up for the NCAA Cross Country Championships this Saturday.
Yes.
It's crazy. We're going to be in Virginia. Ashley and I are coming in Thursday.
Yes.
We're excited for all the excitement, and our special guest will actually be there as well.
Yes, we might as well go ahead and introduce our special guest then. One of the top storylines from regionals last week was the Iona men's cross country team winning the Northeast regional title. And so joining us today is going to be their head coach, Joe Pienta. Iona, the men's team, they upset some big teams last weekend on Friday at the Northeast regional. They took down number 8 Syracuse, they took down number 15 Harvard, and all 5 of their scorers finished within the top 15 of that race. So again, we have coach Joe Pienta here joining us to discuss their performance on Friday and how the team is feeling going into Nationals this upcoming weekend. So thanks, Coach, for joining us.
Well, thanks for deciding to have me as a special guest. I don't know how you guys decided on that.
We're like...
Your sponsor, the pistachio nut company there, it makes me think of when I was a youngster. Just chowing down on some pistachio nuts.
Oh, they're so good.
That's what we do here every day in the office.
This is literally our lives. The seasoned salt, if you have not tried it, Coach, it is my fave. Absolutely loved it.
Mm-hmm. So, as you mentioned, as we kind of kicked off the show, mentioning that, Iona, the men's team, will be going to NCAA championships. And, just first kicking off, before we talk about that regional performance, maybe just talk a little bit, how's the team feeling, coming into this week, and what's the mindset going into Nationals this weekend?
Well, I think the hope after making it to NCAAs, and that's been our focus the last couple of years, not making it the previous 2 years, the first 2 years in the last 22 that we didn't make it, was keeping things even keel, making sure the focus was on performing well at NCAAs, which is one of the hardest races out there. So we're just trying to stay grounded, keeping their mindset in the right spot. You know, we went for a little, instead of a long run, we called it a philosophical run, where we were just deep in our thoughts out in the woods at Rockefeller State Park. We just got out there and enjoyed the end of the autumn and just tried to enjoy the race, mm-hmm. or the run, rather, after the race.
Yeah, and I feel like going into the weekend, Ashley kind of mentioned it, you took down some powerhouse programs like Syracuse and Harvard. You guys were ranked 27th going into the weekend. How are you and your team able to just put the race together when it mattered the most? This was the last stop. This was the meet that you needed to do and perform your best to make it to NCAA. So how are you just able to just put everything, like you mentioned, the mindset, but also make sure that your gentlemen are doing what they need to do on Friday?
Well, I would say, now, let me ask, is this live? Or can you edit, if I say something foolish, can you edit it out? Or am I live?
We are live right now,
yeah.
Oh, geez, oh boy. Well, I'll keep it tame then. I'll try not to make any mistakes. I think coming in, we knew we could run with Syracuse and Harvard. We knew we had some opportunities if we were third place, that there were some scenarios where we could make it to NCAAs. But I want to give credit to the entire team for being focused all season long. We've been bought in. We didn't stray when things didn't go our way at Nuttycombe. We just got the job done. I think it went a little better than we anticipated, but it was a well-executed race. The goal was to just pack up, you know, run with the Syracuse and Harvard lads. Providence was up there too, especially early on, and we knew they could be really good. And you know, at the end of the day, rankings don't mean nothing. So we were just happy to, you know, kind of go out and execute a good race and perform to our potential for the, you know, what I thought was really the first time all season. You know, everybody ran on track. So, and then, you know, the real tough part going ahead to NCAAs is simply trying to recreate that and not get too ahead of ourselves. Just getting there isn't the goal, but we'll see how that fares. As long as we get there safely and securely.
That's right. And you know, as you were mentioning, you know, you guys, you know, largely that the strategy that you use, you know, if you're looking at the stats of how the team scores panned out, was that pack running mentality. You know, you had like your top five all within the top 15, I believe. Five of your seven guys at regionals posted a 10K PR too, I believe, and your spread from one to five was like roughly 20 seconds. So obviously you guys were all right there together, and you executed that almost to, you know, kind of a, not necessarily a perfect scenario, but a great scenario for you guys. So, you know, how do you think your team was able to, you know, execute that strategy, you know, almost kind of like nearly to perfection right there?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question? I was getting some interference on my computer here. I got some program coming on. It was going buck wild here.
You're good. I was just going to ask, you know, a little bit more about your pack running strategy and how that works so well at, you know, regionals. If you're looking at the stats, I believe your spread from one to five was roughly, you know, 20 seconds or so. So obviously that's, you know, something that worked really well for you. And like you mentioned too, you know, a lot of your guys performed, you know, almost the best of their careers on the day. I believe five of your seven guys posted 10K PRs at regionals. So, you know, how do you think just all those little things came together to, you know, for your team to execute that strategy so well?
Well, I think it came down to the guys just running for each other. They were in there. We knew we had to pack up, and the goal was just stay on your teammates. And, you know, we in the team huddle, I had everybody, you know, and it sounds maybe it's a little corny. We had everybody gaze into each other's eyes and really look deep within ourselves and each other to try to get the job done. And We've been through thick and thin. You know, this group's been through it, not making it the last couple of years, so it meant a lot to all of us. You know, and afterwards it was a, you know, a bit of a catharsis for me afterwards. Just getting, you know, getting back to NCAAs, it meant a lot to me. It meant a lot to the team. I think we had a couple guys. We had a miler. We had Nick Soldevier as an 800 guy, stepping up to the 10K, and it's taking him a couple of years. And to be honest, he was one of our alternates the last 2 years, and he hasn't let me go a day without hearing that I should have put him in the last couple of years, and you know he's earned the right to talk back to me a little bit. So.
That is so awesome. So, Coach, this is your 12th season. This is your ninth ever regional title and the first one since 2012. What do you think separates this current team that you have from all the other teams that you've coached within the last decade?
Well, I think we kind of just went back to Iona basics. This is my 13th year at Iona. I started off as an assistant coach, low on the totem pole. And after Ricardo Santos left, I just took over and wanted to continue what we were doing. And for better or worse, with some injuries, some illnesses the last couple of years, it's a lot of the same cast of characters we had out there this year that we did the last couple of years. But I think there was a bit of a kind of a get back to the old school Iona way, which was, you know, just, you know, getting in the mileage, getting back to basics, running a lot, running fast sometimes, running slow sometimes to recover. And realistically, they just bought into it and they just believed in themselves. We've always had the talent. It's a talented group of guys. And we're going to hope to continue that on Saturday and hopefully in years to come.
Now, I know you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I want to take you back to, Nuttycombe, which is one of those, that mid-season test to kind of see where your team's at. And as you mentioned, like, that didn't go, quite like the way you guys wanted it to for Iona. I believe you guys finished just outside the top 20. But then, obviously, you go on to conference and regionals and things turn out really well. So I'm just curious, what do you think your team learned from that race? And then how were they able to put those lessons learned and kind of change things around going forward with the rest of the season?
Well, we were a little disappointed. Could have been more disappointed. It went better than the last couple of years at Nuttycombe. We were without John D'Souza, who's been kind of a steady hand for us the last few years. And I think what coming out of it, we knew Damian Dilcher and Josh D'Souza were in pretty good shape. They ran really well. But it was kind of a missed opportunity in terms of at-large points. In the end, it probably would have been a good enough performance to give us a point or two, and maybe be third at the region. But we knew we dug ourselves a hole and we needed to run well at regionals. But the nice thing about our system is, you have to run well at regionals. So that's the goal every year. I think we had some luck just being healthy, having everybody on track in November. We get a nice little boost from winning the MAC championships. It was the 33rd year in a row we won the MAC championships, and we don't take those wins lightly. Sometimes the guys make it look easy, but we always get a little bit of a confidence boost there. A fella from Siena made us run pretty hard at it and beat most of our guys. So I think that was a little chip on the shoulder heading back into regionals for everybody. Realistically, we just get back out there running and doing what Iona does, and that's the way it's been since Mick Byrne really started things up here with the distance program, and Ricardo kept it going, and I was just trying not to kill it.
Coach, I have to ask, because your team really showed out and put one of the best performances of the season together at regionals. In your perspective, when did you know that you won the regional title? Was it when, like, mid-race, where your guys were kind of positioned, that you're like, okay, I think we're on track to win this title? Or was it like when all five of the top scorers got through? When was it for you that you knew?
Well, I tell you when it wasn't. At about 1,200 meters in, we're in 16th place or so with 400 something points. But I, you know, I knew we were in a good position. All seven guys were around. Everybody was all together. But you never know. I was positioned out by the tennis courts at Van Cortlandt Park. And I was checking out the splits going into the last loop. You know, we had already moved into first, and I could see the yellow from afar, and I knew we were in good shape, and I knew our 6 and 7 were close within striking range. I've seen some things at Van Cortlandt Park. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of things. Some I won't go into. You know, if you interview John D'Souza, he'll tell you some different stories about Van Cortlandt. At 2K, I was over by 2K, and I knew that. I was telling the guys, don't be a hero. You know, we got this, just maintain. But like I said, I've seen a lot of things. I've seen some guys go backwards in the last 2K of a 10K. So I was telling myself, it ain't over till it's over. You know, the old cliche. But I with a lap to go, I knew we were in a good spot. And to the point where I wasn't sprinting sprinting around the course like a crazy person the latter half of the race. I felt pretty calm where we were. Not to mention, none of the fellas heard me on the course anyway. There was nobody else around, but they weren't listening to me anyway. So, we'll figure.
Now, like I mentioned earlier, because I know you asked if we are live or not, we are live. And so we have actually someone who actually put an interesting question into our little live chat for you. So one of the questions we got was, you know, obviously regionals and NCAAs, they're like back-to-back big meets, you know, where you're kind of going all out. You know, how do you prep your athletes to compete at such a high level at two really high, you know, high stakes events in such a short period of time?
Well, simply put, you just got to run a lot. And, you know, for each person, that's a little bit different. But you got to train. I think you got to train for the two 10Ks back to back. That's how I was introduced to training at Iona. And we'll see how things go. We'll see how our planning went after Saturday, because like, you know, as you just said, 8 days isn't a lot of time to recover. You've got an emotional high. We were basically on our home course. We had some great support. Our AD and our men's basketball coach were out there sprinting more than I was on the course. we had a lot of support from Iona, and I think that, you know, that goes a long way. It helped us out a little bit, you know, being on our home field. So I think some of it is avoiding the emotional stress, the emotional highs and lows of this sport, and not getting too high after a nice win, you know, getting grounded. And focusing on the next thing. So we'll see how we recover and how we do. I think anything's fair game on Saturday. I think we have the potential to be really, really good if we run the way we did. But I as I told the guys, NCAA championships ain't going to be like the Northeast Regional. That thing ain't going out slow and building into it. That thing's going to be hard from the gun. So it's going to be a much different race, and I think they're up for the challenge. But so are the other 31 teams out there. You know, and a win is nice at regionals. I'm not going to, you know, poo-poo that or show any disdain for it. But it is a qualifier, and Harvard's really good, and they knew they were getting through. Syracuse is really good. They knew they were getting through. And there's a whole host of other teams that are really ready. So we could be first. We could be 31st. You know, we could be 10th. We could be 17th. We could be 23rd. You know, anything in there is fair game at the NCAA championships.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think our final question.
This is probably a little ways off. I don't want to, you know, talk out of turn there.
No, you're fine. Before we let you go, coaches, I know you have got a lot of trainings coming up, and also traveling is just a lot too.
Oh, don't worry about me. I canceled practice today. Kids were on their own.
Oh, there perfect. You there you go. Yep. Love that.
Now, I wanted to make sure I was available for this here interview.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. So I've been to Van Cortlandt Park before. I've been there for the Manhattan Cross Country Invitational, not this past year, but the year before. And I had the best carrot cake of my life from Lloyd's Carrot Cake. And I know right off of the court.
It's yes. Carrot cake. Oh, yeah.
So I was going to ask you, did the team celebrate with some carrot cake over the weekend?
Well, to be fair, I forgot to get them some after the race.
Coach.
We got them a curry. The fellas are big Indian food connoisseurs. And so we ordered from Cora Mandel. And, a few of those guys had, some of the vindaloo, a little tikka masala. I had a little sag paneer. I think some of the fellas got some carrot cake, maybe some of the kids not racing. But it's a good reminder. I probably owe them a carrot cake or two.
There you go.
Yes, go get them.
Tell them they can take me later.
Occasional meal or, whatever NCAA compliance paperwork I need to put in to get them a carrot cake.
There you go. I'm telling you, you got to go to Lloyd's Carrot Cake.
Okay.
Whenever you get to Manhattan.
Line was out the door.
Yeah, I'm told you. It was like out the door and around the corner when I went last time. Wild.
It was worse than traffic at rush hour.
I believe it.
Oh, man. Well, Coach, thank you so much for joining us, and we are wishing the men's team, positive vibes their way. Like I said, Ashley and I will be there Thursday, so we'll probably see you out on the course for the shakeout on Friday. But best wishes and safe travels to you and your team.
Well, thank you kindly for having me. I'm going to go out and buy myself a bag of pistachio nuts.
Yes, that's the way to do it.
Go do it.
All right.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Take care.
Awesome. What a great surprise to have the coach joining us. And the men's team just looked super spectacular from their regional meet. And I know we have some graphics up. So before we get into the second half of our show, Ashley was so kind enough to make the top men's and women's teams graphic who have punched their tickets to compete at the NCAA championships this weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia. Here they are. Goodness, it's a great round, great group of athletes and teams that will be competing. It's going to be super exciting. As I mentioned, Ashley and I will be on the ground covering it all. Some surprises, some not surprises, but I think it's going to be an overall great championship.
I mean, hey, we got Colas right. That's all I have to say. We got it right. I was a little nervous. Maybe I put in something wrong, but we're good. We made it. It's all good. And, I think it's about probably what you expected. Like, the teams that got in were probably the ones you expected to get in.
Yeah.
Maybe a few outliers. Like, I think, for example, the Alabama men.
That first team that comes into mind.
But that's just kind of like the downfall of the calculator in a way, I guess. It's like, or not the downfall of the calculator, but that's just kind of the system,
Yeah.
You got to get the wins. You got to get the wins against the teams that auto-qualify. And so
right.
Some teams that, maybe are good enough but just don't have the wins can't get in.
Exactly. It's a whole thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's move on and let's talk about our biggest surprises of the weekend. Because as Ashley and I have mentioned, there were some surprises.
There were a lot of surprises.
That snuck in there. Ashley, I'm going to kick it off to you first. I think we're on the same playing field for this one. We've also have gotten some back and forth responses from each of us here on some of these topics. So your biggest surprise...
I think this was a consensus between you, me, Corey, and Brian,
yeah.
I believe. Especially Brian. I think he was really surprised with this. Was the Boston College women.
Yeah.
Up there at the Northeast Regional, they finished second to qualify for NCAA championships. They haven't qualified since 2019, so it's been a few year absence there for the Boston College women. But they'll be going back to the championships and... it probably would have been hard for them to get in without the auto bid. If you're looking at, what they've done this season, they were sixth at ACC's, mm-hmm. Third at the Arturo Barrios invite at Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a big runner-up finish for them. If you're looking at the way they race, they were racing like this was their last shot. Like this is, they had to put all the cards together. They're number 1, 2, 3, and 5 runners, all PR'd on the day for 6K, all under 2040 for 6K.
Mm-hmm.
And they entered the meet ranked 4th in the region, according to the USTF CCCA polls. So I feel like that's one where everyone just had the good race when it mattered. And, I feel like it's always, sometimes it gets lost, but especially in cross country, it really just comes down to each race can be so different from week to week about how teams are going to do, and so sometimes you just got to put the piece together and anything can happen.
Yes, and I'm happy that you mentioned it because I don't think we kind of expected Boston College to kind of sneak in there right behind Syracuse. And they edged out teams like Providence and Harvard, which are, you know, ranked in the top 30. Mm-hmm. And I think it, like you said, they were able to put the race together when it mattered most. And they ran it as if it was their last. And I think that's the great mentality of doing it, because essentially if you don't get that top two spots, I don't even think, as you mentioned, Boston College would have made
it. Yeah, because think about
it.
They didn't have a whole lot of wins against, I believe, some of those teams that auto-qualified. I mean, they finished sixth at ACC, so you're not going to have wins against, you know, the Virginias, any of those sorts of teams that did auto-qualify.
So that just tells me this team is ready to run.
I mean, hey, why not?
Under pressure how to run.
Correct.
That is in their favor.
But yes, I was very impressed with Boston College over the weekend.
Yes, so biggest surprise for Ashley.
Yeah.
Outside of Ayana's men's team running as they did, you already got, if you don't already know,
I already know
she's
your
laughing.
Answer.
If you don't already know, I'm a very, very proud Aggie. Ran there, 12-time All-American sprinter. I'm super excited to see Texas A&M grabbing that second place finish behind Tulane, and that was at the South Central Region finishing. And as we know, Arkansas has just been so dominant this year. We already knew Arkansas was going to be up there, but I feel like it was up for grabs for that second auto qualifier to get in there. And the Texas A&M woman showed up and finished second with 90 points. And this was the first time in 23 years that A&M has qualified as a team. When I was running, they've had individuals go, like Natasha Rogers, I believe Karis Yonkin was an individual. Hillary Blair was another one. Like, I can name individuals. And I'm texting my friend. I'm like, didn't we make it as a team while we were in school? And she's like, no, Liv. Like, we did not. We had individuals go, but not as a team. Yeah. And I had to look it up, and she was right. Like, 23 years was the last time the women have done it. And I mean, so that is huge.
That is pretty crazy. And, I mean, if you're looking at, you know, the region itself, I think the majority of people were expecting the two auto qualifiers would be Arkansas and Tulane.
Yes.
Tulane's had been, you know, very good over the past couple of years or so.
Yeah.
And Texas A&M was kind of in that third, fourth slot, and they weren't going to get in unless they auto-qualified. But hey, again, they put together all the pieces they needed to on the day. If you're looking at how they finished and how they put this together, they went 9-11, 14, 27, 29. So, you know, not too bad of a spread there. And, you know, kudos to them.
Yeah, kudos to my Aggies.
That also was a big surprise for me. I agree. I did not expect to see the women qualify.
And even Tulane dropped a, I think they finished first.
They finished fourth.
Because LSU was third.
That was surprising.
That was huge. Yeah. I was like, and the thing is, like I mentioned on Friday, I get so much anxiety watching, like, the scores change as the athletes are coming through.
Yeah.
Because originally it was like A&M was in second, and then, like, the margin between A&M and LSU kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And then at one point I thought they tied.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden instead they got second. I'm just like crossing my fingers, like, okay, did A&M's women's team make it in? And boom, 90 points, did it. So this proud Aggie's really excited for
She's very excited.
All right, now for the nitty gritty stuff. Ashley told us to wait until the show to make our picks.
Yes,
so
I thought we had to wait because we had to wait. Something to talk about this
week. So we're going to dive into our individual picks. Let's start with the men, individuals, then women, and then we'll go to the men team, women's team. So who is your gentleman's pick to win this weekend?
This is kind of complicated.
Ashley, what do you mean?
So I made a pick, but I've been going back and forth in between two people. And so you know me, I'm an indecisive gal.
That's both of us.
I've been really thinking about this. I feel like this year is one of those years where it's more up for grabs than I think people realize.
Yes. I can agree with you there.
A lot of big names and a lot of players there.
Right.
And a lot of also new faces.
Right.
And some of those new faces have me second guessing myself.
Okay. How about this? Who would you say is the top?
My safe pick.
Oh, you have a safe pick and then?
My second pick.
Okay.
My safe pick, I think it's Nico Young's year. I feel like every year maybe we say it's Nico Young's year and he hasn't put the pieces together, but when I say it's his year, it's his year. You know.
Okay. What? When I say it's his year, it's his year. Okay.
He has the experience race at NCAAs. He was second last year in a crazy race with Charles Hicks. You know that's replaying in his mind. You know, rewind the tape, play it again, give him that fuel.
Yeah.
And you know, he's been close so many times, whether it's on the track or on the cross country course. I think this could be the year. You know, he's done really well already this year. He finished, I think, second at regionals at Mountain Region, and then he won the conference title and finished second at Nettycombe. Which is, I mean, obviously we expect him to always be up there in those races. But in a year where it's a little bit more wide open, I think this could be the time for him to show out. However.
That means but.
This is my second pick. This is my, like, that's my
second
pick.
So which one are you more leaning towards?
I can't tell you. I don't know.
Okay, let me hear the second
pick. Okay, my second pick is, because it's kind of a risky pick a little bit, but I am a huge fan of Habtum Samuel of New Mexico, the freshman from, I believe he's from Eritrea. He beat Nico at the Mountain Regional. He won the Roy Gryak Invitational, been running phenomenally, was third at Nettycombe. Again, just the freshman there. And, you know, he's already racing like a veteran in his first year in the NCAA. The only reason why I'm hesitant is a lot of times experience, you know, plays a huge factor when you go to NCAAs. Nico has that experience, whereas Samuel does not.
Okay.
So that's the one thing where I'm like, Nico would be the safer pick for me. Samuel, I'll put, maybe slot him in second there.
I feel like you're leaning towards Samuel. Like, you want to say Samuel.
I do, but, like, again, I can't. So
I think you're trying to say Samuel at the end of the day.
I'm going to say Nico Young.
You're saying Nico, but you're thinking Samuel. That's what I'm getting.
Okay, yeah. That's basically it. So, basically, I think it's going to be those two guys. Maybe that's...
Oh,
but,
man.
Again, that doesn't... Like I said, there are a lot of players this year, and, I mean, you can't count out people like Kai Robinson, who won that 5K, 10K double last year.
Drew Bosley.
Outdoors. Drew Bosley. There's just a lot of people, and, you know, Oklahoma State has a bunch of guys that I think can be consideration as well. And Graham Blinks, I think, is also another one of those.
Which is...
Not to allude to your pick, but I looked ahead on the notes, and I saw who you picked.
So, yes, Ashley pretty much just said my pick. I think Graham Blakes is the guy.
I do like that pick. I will say I think that's a good pick.
Let me give you my reasons. Okay. First of all, my gut is saying Graham Blakes. It's like...
It's just a gut feeling.
The gut feeling. It's like, I don't know, this guy's different. This guy, I feel like, just sticks out to me. He was sixth at NCAA championships last year, and I feel like this year he just rose to a whole new level. You talked about Nettycombe. Mm-hmm. He edged out Nico Young at Nettycombe. Mm-hmm. That's when he grabbed that title. He also won the Northeast Regional title. He's been undefeated this whole entire season, and I think that's why I'm like, not because he's undefeated, but because he's sharp. Mm-hmm. Like, he's raced against individuals who, as we mentioned, Nico Young, like, in that top tier of individuals competing for this championship title, I just think Graham is the guy. Like, you know, Graham is the guy.
I do feel like that's a fair pick, because I do feel like he's shown it's in the cards this year.
Yes.
Like, he's racing confidently. He's taking down all these, you know, the Nico Youngs and all those at Nettycombe.
Right.
So he's already done it once this season. Like, he just has to
he's
put
to do it again.
One more time.
Just do it again.
But again, it's like one of those where, you know, as we're debating, like, there's so many names being thrown around. Like, I feel like the men's race this year, it's like, it's so many people
can
win.
Oh, and I keep saying this. It's the person that's going to have the best day on Saturday. Like, the person with the best mindset, the best race strategy.
It's just going to be interesting, too, because I know how Panorama Farms is. I mean, it's not like a pancake.
No.
It's not a pancake flat course, you know.
No.
Like, they're... are a lot of hills there, you know. There's, I believe, you finish on like a, you go like a corkscrew almost, like, uphill, like,
yeah.
there's plenty of that in turns, so, like, it's gonna be interesting to see how these guys navigate this course, I think, at the same time.
Yeah.
And that could also play a big factor, I think.
Okay, so Samuel for you. I'm just saying,
I'm gonna say Nico.
Are you sure?
No.
Are you putting this... I'm trying to see who's going to have the most,
I will put,
like,
it
points
down
after this.
In writing, Nico Young.
Okay. I'm sticking with my Graham Blakes.
Okay.
I feel very confident about my Harvard guy here.
Okay.
And Team Harvard for this. Women's team. This might get in. Not women's team. Women individuals.
Oh, I think you and I are going to go back.
We're going to go back and forth on this
one. Okay. Obviously, I think the debate here. Can we preface this? Let's be real.
There's two.
There's two names.
One goes to school in North Carolina. The other school goes to Florida.
Yes.
So, a rematch of Caitlin Toohey versus Parker Valby.
Yes. And Ashley's going with. I feel very confident in my pick.
I feel very confident in my pick.
Gosh, come on. Okay.
Okay.
It has to be Caitlin Toohey. There's no other way this plays out. No other way. And let me explain myself.
Go ahead.
You cannot doubt Caitlin Toohey. You want to know why? Because she's a gamer.
I get that.
She is a fierce competitor. And I remember watching NCAA's cross country last year in 2022 when Parker Valby went out at her, you know, doing her race strategy, and Toohey was just sitting back stalking her the entire time. And the way I saw her over that last probably 2K, just slowly but gradually just tap in and catch up to her. Mm-hmm. Like that right there, that is a killer mindset in cross country, which in cross country, that type of mindset, I feel like almost puts you in a better position than that same mindset in, like, say, a track race. Like, mm-hmm. it's a whole nother level. And we've already seen Toohey lost to Valby at Nuttycombe this year. And I can guarantee you she's not going to let that happen again.
Okay. Liv, how did you spend your Saturday? I spent my Saturday watching the 2022 National.
You rewatched the race?
I rewatched it.
Okay.
And here's my takeaway. Yes, so I'm just going to throw this out there. Parker Valby's my pick. The reason being, talking about last year, what I saw is probably what we're going to see again on Saturday. Parker Valby's probably going to go out like hardcore, come catch me.
Or will she?
I think she will.
Okay. That's another thing that I'm...
I know we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
But here's my thing. Like, she went out hard, but the way Valby looks this year, I think she can hold on to that. Like, she is so much stronger, in my eyes, from what we saw at Nuttycombe versus what we saw last year at NCAAs. Yes, it was the same race strategy, but Parker Valby looks in a whole different level. And I think she's going to be the one that grabs this. I feel like because of that win at Nuttycombe, Parker Valby's like, okay, I've done it. Again, where you're coming from is Caitlin Toohey's going to go out there. It's probably replaying her head. She's not going to let that happen. But Parker Valby, on the other hand, is thinking, okay, I've done it again. I've done it. I just need to do exactly what I did. And I think it's just going to play mind games with the rest of the field. And Parker was able to hold her own at the SEC Championships where she was passed during the race and was able to regain that same lead and just control the whole entire field. That's why I feel like Parker Valby has two pieces of ammo underneath her belt. She can get out hard, y'all try to catch me, but at the same time, if you catch me, she knows how to overcome that. That's my reason, Parker Valby.
I don't know.
No, you just... Caitlin Toohey. But don't get me wrong, Caitlin Toohey is going to put up a fight. Without a doubt, there's no question in my mind that Caitlin Toohey is going to go in, throw in hands.
See, I think Toohey's just a whole nother beast when it comes to cross country. I think that's my consensus. Like,
the way Parker Valby looks right now is unbelievable. Like, I know you watched last year's. When did you watch that? Was it recent? I want you tonight for your homework. Watch last year's race and watch Nuttycombe. And just be like, okay, I see where Liv is coming from.
Sometimes it's all mental.
Very true. It is.
I don't know.
The mind plays
Either
a lot
way,
of games.
I think it's obviously going to be these two. But actually, can I throw out a hypothetical? Okay, so if anyone else could get up into this mix, who do you think it could be?
Ooh, I don't know.
See, I think another girl that could get up in the mix is Elise Stearns.
Ooh, that was who was in my brain.
Okay.
I was like, Elise Stearns.
I mean, she's been running very well this year. Plus, she didn't run regionals, so she's going to be rested.
Yeah.
So if there's anyone that I think could go with them, it's going to be her. She
finished Elise fourth Stearns at Nuttycombe. Did come into my mind.
She finished fourth at Nuttycombe. She won the UVA Invitational. I wouldn't be surprised if she tries to go up there with them.
Okay. My thing is she can be able to hold on.
Now I'm looking at the chat and they're getting mad that I said that Toohey was gonna win.
But my thing is, I agree with you. Like, I personally feel like Parker Valby's gonna win this. However, the way Caitlin Toohey is running, like, we've known her since high school. We've covered her. She is not gonna go down without a fight. It's not going to be an easy win. It's not going to be an easy win. I don't think it's going to be blown out of the park.
Again, because
but Valby's going to be the first
like
one
when
across
she
the
won Donnycomb, I was a little surprised. I was like,
were you?
Dang. Yeah, I was surprised. I was like, dang. So then it makes you wonder. And then, you know, I second guess myself and I question myself. I'm like, could she win NCAAs? But I think Tui's the better pick, the safer pick in my
to opinion. Help you in this argument. That was Caitlin Tui's first race of the year.
But it, so it was Parker Valby's first race as well.
Oh, well, okay. I was trying to help you with, like, okay, you know, Caitlin was working through some things.
Oh, wait, they said, no, we think Tui will win. We aren't mad at you.
Oh, okay, so cool. They're not mad.
Correct.
We're good. Okay. I still think Parker Valby, gosh, please do your homework tonight. Watch last year's race and watch Donnycomb. And just let me know.
Now I'm trying to remember who did Corey and Brian say when
they picked
came on?
They picked Tui,
right? Okay,
they picked Tui. Both
so
of them did.
Three for Tui at
three
the
versus
flow track
one
crew versus one Valby. Okay,
yeah. And
did
I'm
they, did
I'm
they
a
pick
firm.
Individuals? Did they pick individuals?
They picked well Tui. I don't know if they picked for anybody Ryan. On the guy. They were like it's too like yeah. We've discussed it's too up in the air.
Maybe we need to have them back on the show to give their picks again. I feel like.
Have them call in. Can we do that? Hey, y'all, they're in the office. Like, they're on the, they're one floor above us. So, hey, y'all, just hop on real quick. Okay, so those are our picks. Wait, we went over guys, right? Yep. Okay, Graham Blanks, Parker Valby for Liv.
And
Nico Young, a.k.a. Sam, and Caitlin Tui for you. All right, let's move on to the team's picks, because, again, I don't think... Are we on the same page? Okay.
For one.
Let's start with the men and get that one out of the way. Men's team, who do you have?
All right.
Because I think that's who
Let's
I have,
to. Let's be
real.
Too. I do think NAU on the men's side is going to repeat. If you're looking at how they've got, you know, raced this whole year, they are still dominant, and they have showed this. They destroyed the competition at the Mountain Range by over 60 points. They beat out BYU and many other top teams in the NCAA. They won by nearly 100 points at Nuttycomb. They won by 30 at Pre-Nats. Again, they've been racing some of these top teams all year. It's not like they're shying away from any competition here. You know, they have that depth that we've obviously seen over the past few years that Mike Smith has built at NAU. And personally, I think it's no different this year. However, I will, again, same like with the men's divisionals, I will throw this point out there. The only team that I think could realistically, and I am kind of curious about this matchup, see, challenging them is OK State.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, if you're looking at OK State's resume, they destroyed everyone on their home course I believe it was the Midwest Regional over the weekend. And they haven't matched up with NAU at all this year. They didn't race Nuttycomb. They didn't race UVA Invitational. They only raced, I believe, the Cowboy Jamboree Conference and Regionals. So they haven't faced each other all year. So this will be the first time we see them come together. And they definitely, I mean, OSU has that star power and that depth. Keyword depth as well that I think could be similar to NAU's. However, I will say I think it's going to be NAU.
I agree. I'm rooting for the repeat here. The four-peat. I think Drew Bosley and Nico Young are going to handle their business. They're going to run well. NAU men has my vote.
Wait, can I have a side note?
Yes.
Looks like Brian is watching from the office and calling Team Tui. He's Team Tui.
Team Tui. I know. It's three versus one.
Yeah. So you're the only one.
Wait, you got to ask Brian who he picks for his guys pick.
Brian, if you're still listening, send us in the chat your picks for
yes.
You and Corey for men's individual.
For the men's pick. All right. Let's talk about the women's field on the team side. I know. Gosh, this is so hard. It's like... I want to sweep.
Okay, it's similar to the fact, it's like similar for me in the terms of like Tui versus Valby.
Yes.
Like, you know, like the two dominants racing against each other.
Yes.
It's a similar scenario here, I think, for the women's team side.
I want NAU to have the sweep. I'm just going to throw that out there. I want them to have a sweep. However, I'm also voting for the defending champs here.
Okay, explain.
NC State. As you mentioned, going to be led by Caitlin Tui. They've rested a lot of their individuals at regionals. One name that comes into mind is Leah Stevens, who has been, I felt like, a solid performer for this team. They're seeking redemption after Nuttycomb. Similar to how you feel about Caitlin Tui, is how I feel about NC State right now with NAU. They're seeking redemption. They lost to NAU at Nettycomb. I feel like NC State's going to have that fire. Like, you are the defending champions. You better defend that title. That's my take.
Well, I'm going to go the opposite way.
I know you are.
respectfully so. I like your reasoning, because I have the same basically the same reasoning for Tui winning the individual title. But I'm going to say NAU is going to win this here, their first ever title in women's program history. Just like looking at how they've raced this season, like you mentioned, they win at Nettycombe pretty dominantly. You know, something, obviously, I don't think NC State was to full strength at that race, but still, they win pretty dominantly. They perfect score their conference meet, which, you know, pretty expected to see them do so well there. And then if you're looking at, the regional meet, the Mountain Regional, they rested Elise. They rested Elise Stearns, and they still beat BYU, which is a top five program in this entire country. They still beat them by 20 points. Mm-hmm. Again, I think that they have that depth to really carry them this year. I think that's the difference here. And, you know, if you're looking at the matchup between NAU and NC State, I do think they're very similar teams in that they have a really, you know, obviously great low sticks and stuff like that. But then they have the depth as well. I don't know. I think NAU is the one they're going to have the most confidence, I feel like, going into this meet. And mm-hmm. I'm just curious to see it all play out. So, I don't know. But, again, I'm still a big NC State fan, so I don't know either.
This is hard. It's like...
Because another one, too, right? You got to think about this as well. NC State rested Kelsey Camille.
Right.
They rested Leah Stevens, like you said. So they're rested as well, whereas NAU rested Elise. And... that's going to make it interesting, is they're all going to have a little bit of rest in them. What are you thinking about?
I'm just like, this is going to be a really freaking great meet. That's what I'm thinking about. Yeah. Like, the women's side, individually, like, I feel like there's two front runners, but then this team, it's going to come down to the wire. Same thing on the men's side, except the men's individual is completely wide open. Like, anybody's day, it could be anybody. And then this team race, it's still close. Like, I'm not even going to count out BYU, but, like, again, I'm going with my gut. I feel like NC State's going to defend this title.
But I will say, though, like, I think this is another thing to factor in. I mean, NAU raced at UVA earlier this year. They raced at the Virginia Invitational. They have an experience already racing on that course. They know what to expect. NC State has not raced this year. I mean, sure, it's in, you know, it's at UVA, so some of those ladies, I'm sure, have raced at Panorama Farms before over the years. But, you know, I think that's also something to consider. It's like they've seen the course. They know potentially where they can point out the points where, all right, this is where you need to make this move. This is where you need to coast a little bit. You know, like, there's a little bit of that strategy that I think that plays, you know, to NAU's favor there as well.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. I'm still sticking with.
All right. So we.
What does the chat think? Did Brian respond? I need to know.
Oh, he did.
What did he say?
He said, Nico Young might be the favorite, but Kai Robinson ? Graham blanks ? So.
Okay. So we were. Like I said, we're all on the same page here.
Okay.
Because Kai, we mentioned Kai Robinson.
Well, you know
he's going to be in the mix.
You know what that means? We're all going to be completely wrong.
We're all going to be completely wrong.
Yeah, we're all going to be completely wrong.
I feel really confident in my picks here.
I like to say I'm confident, but I'm not.
So. All right. Stay tuned to Flow Track because we're going to have all the content. Our crew's flying down Thursday. We're going to be on the course. We're going to have another show. Ashley's going to be running. Look for Ashley. She's going to be running.
Be running.
All over the course. But this is it. Like, the cross country season went like this, I feel like.
Yeah.
It was like, boom.
It happens, you know, even though it's a pretty long season.
And I'm pumped for indoor. You already know. The sprinter in me is like, let's go.
I'm kind of sad that 60
meters,
cross country is over.
It's 4x4 time. It's 200 meter time. I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm pumped. With all that being said, Wednesday was a very big day for us. It was National Signing Day, and a lot of things have shaken up. I remember one show that we filmed, and we had our early we were like, which program is winning going into, I think, National Signing Day? I picked Oregon. I can't remember who. Oh, you picked Notre Dame. That has completely changed, in my opinion. Like, I feel like Oregon got four solid recruits for the distance side. But, y'all, all the sprinters, like, committed all on one
That's
day.
That's when things
changed. Yeah. So, Ashley, who would you say won National Signing Day for you? Which program?
The program that won National Signing Day for me was Georgia. Don't you remember how we were all, like, talking?
Y'all, I should preface this. We literally had social channels up on our computers, refresh here in the office to see where everyone was making their commitments to. We had some top, you know, power programs up and looking at their social channels.
See, yeah, like, don't you remember Georgia? Like, their Instagram Georgia is was like, you scroll.
Georgia
you scroll.
Was on it. Yeah. The Georgia Bulldogs were on it.
But that's break down just exactly who they got, you know?
Yeah.
For maybe some of y'all, like, you know, we obviously are very in tune with the high schoolers. So these are going to be the ones that are going to be program changing for, like, these college teams, you know, in the next couple of years. These will be the top guys and gals in the NCAA. Their top recruit has to be Christian Miller. He's the top sprinter in the country right now for high school seniors. He ran 10.06 in the 100, 20.51 in the 200 meter last year. He's a game changer, you know, like he's a New Balance Outdoors national champion. I believe he signed live on the Mile Split Instagram, which is pretty funny. He was teasing with the audience on his
Ooh,
pick.
This kid got us.
He did get
he
me.
He got us.
He did.
Okay. What happened was so we had him on the line podcast for Mile Split, and he had on a Florida shirt. And I was like, are you kind of telling us what's going on? And he was like, no, every day leading up to National Signing Day, he brought out different shirts for the different programs that he visited. So he wore Florida that day. I don't know what he wore the days before. But I'm like, okay, it has to be Florida. Like, it has to be Florida.
And he started, like, putting on all the hats and throwing them away. Then he opens up his shirt.
This is where he's
wearing an LSU. And
oh, my gosh.
I was right, because I predicted LSU. But then he took off the shirt, and he was wearing a Georgia shirt. It was a whole lot of antics.
There was a whole lot of things going on. But I was all for it.
Anyways.
So Christian Miller got us.
He's a huge grab for Georgia.
Yes.
But then if you're looking at Georgia's, you know, the recruiting class as a whole, they just have a lot of good talent across different event groups. So they have a lot, I would say they have, like, the best, like, the most variety of any recruiting class. So you have Christian Miller. You have Skylyn Townsend, who is a nearly 21-foot long jumper and a over 43-foot triple jumper on the ladies' side, so she'll be a game changer there. You have Zy Ricks out of California, out of Long Beach Poly.
Yeah.
He's a mid-distance guy, you know, kind of like that Will Sumner type. He's gone 149 for the 800 and 46 flat for the 400. Then you have Riley Hampton as well, who's one of the top high school sprinters in Texas and in the nation. So for me, Georgia wins. Go Uga.
Ooh. Okay. For me, I'm on the other side of the country. I'm going with USC. Like, I literally text you and I said, who did USC not get? Because the way that they, like, the amount of talent that's going to USC is incredible. Like, I don't even know what to even say. Number one recruit on the ladies' side, Mia Braw-Pedersen, who's gone 11th flat as a junior, 22.43. And y'all, this is all wind legal marks. As a high school junior going to USC, Mariah Scott, who I think happens to be the next Abby Steiner. She's from Ohio. Let me throw this out there for y'all. Abby Steiner went 11.38 and 22.73 in high school. Mariah went 11.41 as a junior and ran 23.20. When you look at the 100 and the 200 meter stats from the state of Ohio across its history, Mariah is the number two performer right behind Abby Steiner in Ohio history in both events. Then you also have Olivia Pace, another one from Ohio. She's the number three performer in the 100 meters with 11.54 in the state. And of course, all of a sudden, Brianna Selby from Virginia. I was like, wait a second. Mine was blown. Brianna Selby is the New Balance National Indoor Champion in the 60, along with being the Adidas Track National Champion in that same distance this past winner. She's also the AAU Junior Olympic champion in the 100 from 2022. That's a 4x1 right there. Yes. In itself.
Yes.
This is... I'm mind blown. Like,
I didn't expect it. I did not expect it. USC. Did not expect it.
For especially who? For
just like the amount,
Depth that they have it. Or for Brianna Sell? Because I was...
For the depth.
Now, who I am waiting for to make their announcement, and I don't know, mm-hmm. Adesia Hodge mm-hmm. from Mount Verde Academy. She's posted on her social media that she's making the announcement during Thanksgiving break, which would be next week. Michelle Smith, another athlete from Mount Verde Academy, 400-meter hurdler, again, is waiting until Thanksgiving. A lot of people have been asking about Ellie Shea. Ellie Shea is going to probably make her commitment later in the school year, not necessarily the end of 2023, maybe looking into 2024. We don't know. But those are three other recruits that I'm just kind mm-hmm. of like...
Waiting for.
I'm waiting. I'm patiently waiting.
Anyways,
is there anybody that you're waiting for besides the three?
No.
I think that's like...
All my distance peeps are committed, so I'm no longer
so, like,
waiting.
For us, it's like, okay, the sprinters, where are we going?
Yeah. And all the field event athletes as well.
True. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the field. So, oh, wow. This whole week from National Signing Day to regionals happening on, it's just been field packed week.
And now we have another big week ahead of us. The big week. What are you looking forward to? Have you ever been to Charlottesville?
I have not. And the funny thing is I grew up in Maryland, so you would think I would have, but I haven't. Hmm.
It's pretty up there.
Yeah. Wait, have you? You've been there, right?
Yes, I have. Yeah. Way back when. To Panera Farms in 2019. That makes me feel old.
I don't want to hear it.
2019.
I don't want to hear it. If you see me, I'll be in a big puffy jacket, probably hat and mittens. I'll be ready to go.
It's not going to be cold. Oh, my gosh.
You saw me in New York.
Oh, my gosh.
You saw me in New York for the New York City Marathon. I was bundled up.
No.
I don't mess with... If it's below 60, I'm done.
Well...
I know I'm from the East Coast, but still. Amanda's yelling in my ear. You're from the East Coast. This is the thing. When you move to Texas and you've been here for 10-plus years, the Texas heat thins out the blood.
Interesting.
It's cold now. It doesn't matter. Amanda's in my ear. She's like, you just moved back. But I was like, it's been a year and a half. Like, I was there for a year and a half, and I came back. It was like nothing.
Yeah.
And I worked from home, so I was inside the whole time.
Well,
didn't get out.
All I know is I'm ready to be in the elements. You know me. I don't like being confined to, like, a bad thing about a marathon. So we've been covering the marathons,
you know,
New York City and Chicago. I don't like being confined to, like, the media area watching a screen. I need to be out in it. I have to be out in it.
I like seeing it, but, like, I was perfectly okay with being
inside. So now cross-country. You've seen me at cross-country meets.
Oh, I've seen you.
I'm zooming everywhere.
Ashley's gone.
So.
Meanwhile, I will be probably at the finish line.
I'm excited.
Anywho, thank you so much, Ashley, for kicking us off for this show. Again, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure you like, subscribe, leave a comment. Stay tuned. As I mentioned, to FloTrack, we're going to be there grabbing all the content, photos even.
Yes.
Photos, podcasts,
write-ups,
interviews, everything that you love in regards to covering a meet, we got you covered. So we will actually see you in person Friday. If not, we will see you next week on our show, next week Monday. Thank you guys and have a great week.